You want to know when I knew I wasn't shit? This is when I found out that there was a Skull Knuckle, Tennessee.
Skull Knuckle, Tennessee.
That people used to show up at fucking Skull Knuckle.
Oh, no, no. It's not Skull Knuckle. Unless it's... I think it's Skull Bone.
No,
unless
there was...
there's a different place.
No, we're
maybe
calling
there's a
it Skull
place.
Knuckle.
No, that's okay. It. No, no. That's it's it. Like, I'd always heard Skull Knuckle,
Skull
but
Knuckle
evidently
is way...
it's in Gibson County, and there's...
No, maybe the intersection is Skull Knuckle.
It's been known in local circles as the capital of the kingdom of Skullbonia.
Yeah.
What? Man, we don't
we
have
here,
enough...
Here we have Faux Killer Creek, named
Ooh,
after... apparently after named after a member of the Cherokee Nation named Four Killer, who was so named because he killed four people. I think it's a pretty good name.
Hmm. Hey, hey, why's your brother named Bones?
Why stop at four? That's what, like, I'm always... So he's like, he killed four people. I'm like...
Quitter?
Listen, you got past two.
Name?
You kill but one, maybe you, that's an accident.
You can't... If you kill four people and that's your name, Four Killer... If you kill someone else, then you got to update your business cards. Mm. You got to check the handles online to see if it's even available.
What
you
happens?
Yeah, four is also not a number that people are going to be like, "Eh, he's full of shit."
It also
like if you're like, "I'm 37 killer," they're like, "He killed like two dudes."
It doesn't speak well of your image among those that name you either, because it implies that, well, you've killed four people and your job is done.
Maybe that person hated the nickname. Maybe they were like, "Hey,
the laurels of four murders." Okay,
guys, why do we have to like? Okay, it was one summer. Like, can we get over it? Can we talk about the other things I've done since then?
I'm just like, what happened to initiative
like,
in this country?
I'm a kindergarten teacher. You can't keep calling me Four Killer.
I've stopped drinking
maybe
coffee,
really
and I'm not that person anymore.
Kindergarten teachers have more motive than anybody to become
That's
murderers.
True.
What That's if you're true. Like, "Hey, man, listen, this is Four Killer. Okay, cool. This is a really good party. Hey, have you met my friend Seven Killer?"
Oh God.
They have got to be related to the Muhan somehow.
I think maybe he introduces himself like, "Hi, I'm 23 killer," and they're like, "Okay, Four Killer."
It's the 2 Chainz tweet.
Yeah, this dude ain't shit. Yeah.
Except
7 Chainz doesn't have to.
Yeah, except at this number, it is actually worrying if your number's increasing. Where does it stop is actually a concern when it comes to.
An hour later, I now go by 5 Killer. What?
What did you just do?
Yeah, that better not have been on the carpet.
They go outside, come back in, and announce they have a new name.
Yeah.
Hang on a second.
I'm tired of being characterized for my murderous rage only. I need a rebrand.
They didn't have my name on any of the novelty license plates.
It's so all 3 Killer.
Now I'm 8 Killer.
The Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening live to the only college football podcast on these internets.
I really hope they're not listening live.
I mean, they're always listening live, aren't they? To them.
That's upsetting.
Very.
Are we on Parler?
We are.
Is it okay, help me out. Is it
Parlay
or is it Parlay? Because either one could be upsetting.
Parlay sounds a little French, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but parlor sounds like a fancy room with furniture you're not allowed to sit on, and that's not for common folk like us.
Hmm.
My favorite thing I've seen this week regarding that was John Tesh announcing he was going to parlor. Because, you know, he said, "I'm going to leave this cesspool of negativity behind. I'm going to parlor." To which I say, John Tesh, good luck with the white supremacists.
I've already been banned from Parler for calling Lindsey Graham worm tongue.
Did you make a Parler account?
I'm kidding. I wasn't actually banned
okay.
from Parler.
I don't know. I would like to open the program with an apology. In the last installment of the Shutdown Fullcast, I said that, you know, saying that you love your kids really doesn't mean anything when we're doing character descriptions, because loving your kids is really a bare minimum of the human condition and your obligations to others. For instance, I said that, you know, people say, oh, well, Muschamp's a good dude. He loves his kids. And I say, well, you know what? Stalin loved his kids. To which I want to issue an apology, because there's a correction due. We don't really know that Stalin loved his kids. We don't.
Yeah, if we want to talk about Stalin, let's just talk about Will Muschamp's offense.
Hey! Woo! Back at it! Because it sucked. It sucked. Most of the time. It's not very good.
Oh, I meant because it was stalling.
Yeah, Stalin, yeah.
Cool. It's a verb?
Wasn't going anywhere. Mm. Yeah. That's because he wasn't very good at his job. So it wasn't really an apology.
God damn it. We were doing so well.
I know.
I'm going to make Cerber cut that out.
This week, I think we wanted to start with the question. Because this is the edition of the Fullcast where we like
we've had the start of the show. We've had you saying we want to start the show with the apology. And now you're announcing that we're starting the show with something
else. Listen, we're like...
This is like reverse Return of the King.
My goal has always been to do the Muppet Show thing four times.
The Exit of the King.
Yes, where we tell you how we're going to start the show. It's like every great rap track. It's about to go down. It's about to happen. It's on the way.
Can I back up for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So
hi, Ryan.
Now my computer has Joseph Stalin children as a search that it has run. And it has led me to the following story about about a child he had with his first wife, who he married in 1906 and who died of typhus 16 months later, apparently.
Oh, like Floyd of Rosedale.
Apparently, Joseph Stalin was so inconsolable due to this that he jumped into her grave during the funeral, and guests struggled to get him out. Now, he had a son named Cato, like Cato Kalin, spelled that way.
Cato!
Or, sorry, Cato was his wife's name. His son's name was Yakov. Like
Yakov
Smirnov. Yes. He apparently did not love this son. He considered him weak and was always fighting with him. In 1925, Yakov said he wanted to get married. His father forbade it. His son attempted suicide and wounded himself with a gunshot. And Stalin is said to have joked cruelly, "Ha, you missed." So
wow.
So I think we could go ahead and say that Joseph Stalin, at least in the case of his oldest child, did not love his children. Holy shit.
That's the vibe I'm picking up here.
Advantage Will Muschamp.
Maybe.
Take that, South Carolina.
Maybe.
You fired a man who loved his kids more than Joseph Stalin.
His other children, one of them served 7 years in prison. And the other one defected to the United States.
Well,
Muschamp's children have also defected to the United States.
From South Carolina.
God,
hello! We want political asylum. We grow up in a country where passing is frowned upon and scoring is not allowed.
What a serious diss, by the way, to be like, yeah, I defected from the country my dad made.
Yeah.
I just went to another one.
I hated it. I went to my dad's least favorite country. Well, one of them at least.
when you reject custody of the country your dad made. Yeah, I don't spend weekends in Moscow. Yeah. I do it all over here.
And think of how far you have to go to leave the Soviet Union, you know? Like,
it's a long way.
It's the biggest chunk of the Earth's landmass, and you're
it's like leaving
because
the
of one person.
So what she did, her fourth husband was Indian by birth, and when he died, she was allowed to visit India to spread his ashes into the Ganges River. And once she left Russia, she like immediately defected at the embassy and left her kids behind. Damn, this is like a legacy of the Stalins, just like not great parents. I think that's ultimately what history says about the Stalin family. Not great parents.
Yeah, what a surprise too.
Yeah, right.
I want to know what was going on in the mind of the fourth husband who when he met Joseph Stalin's daughter. And she said, yeah, I've been married to three other guys. He thought, but I'm the dude who's going to nail this job. I got it. what self-confidence to see that and go, yeah, the other three dudes, it didn't work out with Joseph Stalin's daughter. But me, I'm going to cruise this.
So I think what we've learned is that the only people who liked Joseph Stalin were the people in the movie who were kind of sad because he died.
Yeah.
Kind
of. Yeah, kind of sad. They were also kind of like, well, there goes the great man.
Yeah. Let's big immediately begin jockeying for power. What do they call him? Like the big guy? Like
Yeah, they go, oh, big loss that. Anyway, so why are the NKVD taking over Moscow? Yeah. The question I wanted to open with this week, after we apologized to Joseph Stalin, and
that's,
I guess,
not what we were doing.
You know what?
Opposite, I think.
Who was the Kevin Stalin?
Kevin Chad. Chad Stalin.
Oh, wait, that's just Kevin Stallings. Never
Kevin
mind.
Stallings.
Kevin
yeah.
Stallings, yeah.
That's where those people came from.
At Benjamin Dietz on Twitter.
Shout out
Twitter.
Kevin Stallings. You're a bitch.
That's Holly, the Stalin of this podcast.
I'm gonna drown you in a boot.
Yeah. See? The Stalin of this podcast.
Are you not in enough? Are you on in enough trouble with me today?
Why are you? Yeah, come on.
Jesus Christ.
How did we go from Spencer is going to start the podcast with an apology to Spencer makes Holly so mad she threatens to drown him? I mean, I get how we got there because
that hard to drown him, so it's a fairly mild threat.
Yeah. I can swim.
No, baby.
At Benjamin Dietz asks, do you guys realize how close we are to a Northwestern versus Indiana Big Ten title game?
This is such an important reader question, even though it's a yes or no answer.
Oh, God. That's a real possibility. Like, I will be honest. I picked this question. I fully thought I understood what it meant, but saying it out loud really just brought home what a terrible, terrible trajectory we are on. And or wonderful, I don't know. Might be the best Big Ten. Can you remember a single Big Ten championship game where you go, oh yeah, that was hot fire?
Yes.
Thank God I watched that.
Iowa, Michigan State.
Also, that time Ohio State put up 59 points out of nowhere.
That was pretty good too.
Also, that time the turf peeled up and agriculture a first responder was on the scene.
Also that time Urban Meyer ate sad pizza in a golf cart.
Yeah. The Big Ten championship
was the Big Ten championship.
That was the Big Ten championship. He just lost to Michigan State, I think.
Was that the game that Michigan State closed out the game with like a 28-minute drive?
That's Iowa. That's Iowa.
That's Iowa. Okay, yeah. Where Michigan State out Iowa to Iowa.
Yes.
You could just see Kirk Ferentz on the other sideline going, ah, the erotic torture of being hoisted up my own petard of a 28-play, 14-minute drive, which was beautiful because it just nibbled away 3 yards at a time, like for real. It's like three, four.
This was the Braxton Miller, Carlos Hyde Ohio State team that, while down 3 points, got stopped on 4th and 2 at the Michigan State 39, and then got stopped on 4th down again around midfield on their next possession.
Then we made fun of him for eating.
Ohio State led this game 24-17 and then did not score again as Michigan State behind. Which quarterback? Here's the real test. Which quarterback was it that did this?
Was that Cook?
It was Connor Cook.
Yeah, it was Connor Cook.
Led them 17 straight points, and they won 34-24. And then, most importantly,
was this also the same game when he, like, took a trophy from Archie Griffin, and no one liked the way he took it?
Connor, which Connor Cook teammates, like, to be fair, I think everyone got confused because Connor Cook and Kirk Cousins kind of looked alike. And Kirk Cousins was Mr. God, what an inspirational speech you made at the FCA kind of player in college. And Connor Cook, I think, was the kind of guy who was like, yeah, what's your girl's number? Yeah. I mean, I want to talk to you, of course, but what's your girlfriend's number? I think that was Connor Cook.
Yeah. So yeah, the Big Ten champion, like, I honestly, you can make a case that the Big Ten championship has had more entertaining games in the last, let's say, 10 years than the SEC championship.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Than the ACC championship.
The ACC championship is a formality that we do not need. No one has ever watched the Pac-12 championship.
Au contraire, sir. The Wake Forest Georgia Tech 9-6 game. It was a classic of the genre.
Well, until my Canes finally are allowed to compete in it, I won't acknowledge it. I think so. Indiana Northwestern, the current lay of the standings is Indiana Ohio State are tied for the East lead. They play on Saturday. Northwestern and Wisconsin are tied for the West lead. Same deal. If Indiana and Northwestern manage to pull off the upsets, it's pretty close to home free. So Northwestern, they're only like a touchdown underdog against Wisconsin, which I think is pretty slim, but Pat Fitzgerald is good at this kind of bullshit. If Northwestern pulls off the upset, their last games are Illinois at home and Michigan State, which are probably the Big Ten's two worst teams, plus a very mediocre Minnesota. They could lose to Minnesota and still win the division easily with a tiebreaker over Wisconsin. Indiana's a 3-touchdown underdog at Ohio State. That's a tall order, but we believe in our Hoosiers. The bad news is they also have to play Wisconsin. But if they were to beat Ohio State, Maryland, and Purdue, they'd win the East outright. Here's where it gets fun, all right? So because the Big Ten knew there'd be all sorts of weird schedule postponements, cancellations, and so forth, 2020 tiebreaker rule is to win a division, you have to play at least 6 conference games. Northwestern and Indiana are about to play their 5th each, so they are very likely to be eligible. Wisconsin's only played 2 games. And Ohio State
Wisconsin, if they had another game canceled, would not be eligible then, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't have any time really to make it up.
Right.
So, like, if Wisconsin has one more game canceled, then Northwestern makes it virtually no matter what happens on Saturday. Like, it might be likely that Northwestern wins the West because this game might not matter at all. Indiana, Ohio State's played 3 games, so you'd need, like, multiple cancellations there, but that's feasible there as well.
You're telling me the football season that Nebraska and Ohio State and Penn State to some extent, well, let's not leave them out, although they've gracefully exited on their own, that they fought so hard to say we must have this.
The result of that could be
Northwestern and Indiana backing their way in, like early clubhousing their way into a Big Ten championship match.
That's right.
Cool.
But it can get even dumber, all right?
Oh, God.
I would like to select this door. Dungeon Master.
Would you like to know more?
Would you like to go further?
Dungeon Master, I am rolling to pass through the door immediately.
So above the board, we are 2 upsets away from an almost guaranteed Northwestern Indiana Big Ten title game. Possibly, if they manage to get there undefeated, there'd be a playoff spot on the line. But we're a few cancellations away from an undefeated Wisconsin and an undefeated Ohio State missing the Big Ten title game, which would probably mean Northwestern and Indiana playing for a spot in the Rose Bowl. If you have a 5-0 Ohio State beating a 5-0 Wisconsin in the Big Ten's third place game, remember that's a thing this year.
Oh, God.
6-0 Ohio State goes to the playoff. This means the streak of Ohio State being directly involved in the playoff committee's biggest controversy of the year extends to all 7 years of the playoff. This is on the table. Remember, 2014, it's TCU, Baylor, Ohio State. There was a year Ohio State didn't win the conference and got to go. There was a year the opposite happened. Last year, Ohio State wanted to be number one so they could avoid Clemson. This year, you could have them cruising into the playoff with a glorious, gleaming, 5-0, 6-0 record. It's all possible.
Is that the giant red shiny button that blows up the whole universe, Jason, so to speak?
I don't know. I mean,
I would like to press it.
In that sense, hammer it.
Yeah.
Couple that with Cincinnati, like that's right there in Ohio with Luke Fickell. formerly of Ohio State. Like, if you're telling me that Jason is positing a world where 6-0 Ohio State leapfrogs 11-0 Cincinnati for the last playoff spot, yes, that is, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, well, like, the playoff committee is going to look and they're going to see Ohio State beat 6 Power 5 teams. How many did Cincinnati sure. beat, right?
Yep.
Because, like, we know those wins count half in their mind. And we know FCS right. wins count for nothing in their mind.
So it's only, like, they're really 3.5-0 or something.
Yeah, and at that point it comes down to eyeball tests. Well, right. nobody ever beats Ohio State at eyeball test.
Well, here's the tricky thing, though. Those eyeballs will have had to watch Ohio State play Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois in the last month of the season. And those eyeballs might, like, hate Ohio State for making them watch those other teams.
What, for seeing 150-10 sum total in those games?
I'm sorry.
Point.
Should have made it tough for schedule. Sorry.
I mean, granted, I would love to see the scheduling argument that afflicts teams in the AAC, Mountain West, etc., applied to a Big Ten team that manages, you know, only a like third of an actual schedule. It seems unlikely, but
the volcanic anger at Cincinnati making a hypothetical playoff and not Ohio State. Oh, I tremble. I tremble at the delight that I would experience watching that happen. Yeah. Because I'm a bad person, and it would make me happy.
No, I disagree. I think you have inadvertently become a good person on this subject.
Yeah, I mean, if Cincinnati plays twice as many games,
I'm
that
sorry,
seems like the fair choice.
Yes, that's sample size.
What I'm saying is, I would guess Ohio State makes it. Right. Like, we can root for Cincinnati to make it in that case because that would be the right thing. But we all know how this works.
Yeah. I don't think Spencer's a bad person for wanting Cincinnati.
There are so many other reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's.
But imagine this. What if they beat, they still have to play Illinois, correct?
Ohio State?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
So what if they.
Brother, you can't cancel the Illabuck.
What if they only win?
They tried, and the turtle just turned into bronze.
What if they only win the Illabuck by like 2 points in the ugliest game? Sure. If it's like Ohio State under the microscope in the spotlight against Illinois, should be a layup game, and Lovey turns it into some horrible 22-19 game that they only win by a field goal.
I mean, the team that should do this and probably can't or won't. Like, Michigan State, that's their true destiny, right? To just drag Ohio State into some sort of high-gravity mud pit of a game and be like, we're playing first to 11. Now take off your shirt.
And then also, you got the game against Michigan. Now, granted, that sounds funny. Michigan's been down. But we haven't seen what their interim coaches are capable of. Last game of the year, who knows what they'll pull out once.
Who would be? I'm
you know who is
coaches.
Out of the way.
I'm going to look at the coaching list because I'm curious who that would be.
I like that you're just sure that's going to happen.
Don Brown. Yeah, that's...
Oh, there's another Harbaugh on the rock. Oh, wow. That's awful.
That's horrible.
There's
Jay
Harbaugh.
Bob Shoup. It's got to be Bob Shoup, right?
No. Bob Shoup's over at, Bob Shoup's, they quietly were like, Bob Shoup's not here.
Well, Michigan's own website is out of date.
Yeah, that's fair. You got Ed Werner. He could do it. Rough. You got Ben McDaniels. He could, this is rough.
Interim coach Jane Costin. That's who's going to step
finally.
In. Finally, they get the person for the job. Jane steps in, runs the all PI offense. Yeah.
I think it would
5-0 Ohio State out of the playoff.
I do think it would be funny if Jim Harbaugh like decided to step down on his own and was like, and I'm giving the head coaching job to my son, Jay Harbaugh. Here he is.
Good luck.
That's absolutely what's about to happen at Iowa, right?
Yes. I mean, that's what they're going to attempt to do, at least. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and then the boosters are going to throw them out.
What if Jim Harbaugh stepped down and tried to give the job to John Harbaugh?
Why would John Harbaugh do that, though?
John Harbaugh makes like $7 million a year, and he doesn't have to recruit.
Yeah.
Right. If Jim Harbaugh says, I hereby bequeath the job to my brother, John, and John says, you got Lamar Jackson there, or...
can you bring him with him? Does he have any eligibility left? I am also, by the way, thrilled about the potential Northwestern Indiana matchup because it is as close as we're going to get to my favorite thing, which would be the conference championship game that features not one, but both of the perennial doormats of the conference, for instance. In the SEC, I think that this would look something like Mississippi State Vandy. If we ever ended up with a Mississippi State Vandy SEC championship game, that's what this would be. It's comparable to that.
Here's the thing. Can you, and nobody help him, please. Spencer, when is the last time Northwestern made the Big Ten championship?
3 years ago?
Yeah, two years ago, 2018.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
2018. So that's the only problem with that is that Northwestern has been here not that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so I think it's maybe like Arkansas is maybe the better. If you tell me it's Arkansas Vandy, okay. I can go with that.
No, Arkansas has made the SEC championship game multiple times.
Right. That's why I'm saying like Northwestern is more of the Arkansas. Yeah.
Yeah, is there anybody out of the West who's oh, this is painful. You know, has never like only made the Big 12 championship game I think once and then has never made the SEC game so far.
Texas A&M.
Texas A&M. Like their compatriots in the great transfer from the Big 12 to the SEC, Mizzou. Mizzou's been there twice, I believe, since they've come over. And
Texas A&M should have fought to get in the East, mostly because it would have been funny, but also because it would have been smarter for them. I just really wish they would have been like, we're not signing shit. Unless you promise us a spot where we belong, the SEC East.
Put Texas A&M in the West and give us Auburn.
Let's just go ahead and make it multi-ball and establish an SEC Central. There we go. Sure. Yeah, throw Alabama and Auburn in that. Make a West category. Yeah, let's just completely mess this up.
I like this also because it will further enrage like Louisville and Cincinnati because what we're basically doing is reconstructing the Big East.
Yeah.
So let's make the SEC East, the SEC West, and the SEC Central, and when everybody's like, oh, okay, well, how does the conference championship work? We're like, it's very easy.
You break a pool cue.
The top team in the East and the top team in the West play each other, and the SEC Central is like, wait, what? And you're like, I think I was very clear. Have a great day.
I like this. This is basically our pod's idea. If we keep it going. Can we have an SEC South and then have an SEC North and have like everyone very ashamed to be included in the SEC North?
Sure.
Just like, you know.
My daddy would be ashamed of me being in the right. SEC North.
But every time the SEC South tries to make a cheer, we're doing like the Jonah Hill throat cutting.
Yeah. No. GIF. No. Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Back off there, Tiger.
But like that says something like I know the SEC championship game has been around longer than any other conference championship game. However.
And it's older, so therefore better, as we learned from the Big Ten.
That's right. Just like people. The older, the better. That 97-year-old.
Just like Stalin.
Yeah.
Just like the Queen of England.
Yes. It's better with age. Bigger and stronger.
Are y'all all... Jeez. Man, I'm completely derailed by that.
The queen can deadlift 758
That's
pounds.
That's right, because she's had more training.
She's grown to
time.
90 feet tall by now.
That's right. Yeah.
I've been lifting corgis all day.
What is that accent?
It's just Scottish as hell. Yeah.
Why? No, it's not.
Why did you?
Is that Hugh Freeze again?
Why did you make her Scrooge McDuck?
She's Scrooge McDuck. She's powerful.
Wow.
Curse me, killed some the Queen of England.
She kinda happy with you weaklings.
Stop yelling.
I like this version, the Pac-12s. I think you have to go with Oregon State Cal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, did you just pick two teams from the same division?
Did you? I wouldn't know. How the hell do you keep them straight? I mean, it's mostly accurate, so. North
Cal's
south.
Cal's kind of a tweener. Is Cal in the north?
Yeah, Cal's in the north.
I've heard
There's
that
no
about them.
Okay.
I mean, I would say Arizona would be the weakest choice out of the south, but Arizona's been there.
Yeah, Arizona's been there. Rattlesnakes.
Yeah, they've got rattlesnakes and copper.
And the Pac-12 South is like, hey, we're all, like, equality. Everyone's just as good as everyone else. How good is that?
Yeah,
not
I think
fairy.
That's what
Run
I did
away.
In my brain.
The weakest
I
team out of the Pac-12 South is Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's fine. Lubbock. That's practically West Coast.
I think I subbed in Cal just because looking at the actual South teams, like, all of them make it every now and then.
Yeah.
Like Colorado has been there, you know? So,
like, honestly, everybody in the SEC West has made the game except for Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Arkansas's been there. Alabama's been there. Auburn's been there. Mississippi
just
State's
a whole,
been there.
Just a whole division.
Wait.
What? Ole Miss.
Has Ole Miss ever been to the SEC?
Ole Miss has never been to the SEC.
Yeah, they've never.
You don't remember this from
we
a couple
talked
years
oh,
ago?
I just.
This is why 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Alex McDaniel. Are you out there? Please don't hurt me.
What a.
Hey, babe.
What
She's
a.
She's way too smart to listen to this podcast.
What a scorching burn on the program that is. They're like, well, Mississippi State's been to the title game.
So, you know how many Ole Miss fans this entire time were thinking? Phew, they forgot about us. For like the last 10 minutes, they thought they made it undercover.
No!
Meanwhile, the Indiana fans are like, so are they ever going to talk? But no? Okay.
No.
Man, we talk about Indiana every week.
That's true. Speaking of which, I had a really unpleasant realization this week.
Oh, I thought this was the home field ad.
It is.
Oh, cool.
This is a good way to make money.
God damn it, I'm Spencer.
I'm starting it with the language you want.
It's fun, isn't it?
No.
So I grew up in Florida, and I don't think I saw snow.
All right, this is getting worse.
I don't think I saw snow until I was like 11 or 12 years old. When I moved to New York, I was woefully unprepared for the cold. Like, in the sense of, like, I was like, you don't need gloves. That's what pockets are for. And I, like, have never been a cold weather person. Or so I thought. Because a couple of weeks ago, when the weather had that, like, brief turn back into warm, I walked outside and I thought to myself, ugh, why is it warm again? I want to wear my sweatshirts. And that's the kind of person I am now. And I wasn't like that until Home Field Apparel came along. Because Home Field Apparel makes these sweatshirts in all sorts of cool designs from colleges you love, colleges you've heard of, colleges you've never heard of, whatever. And they put them onto the most comfortable, coziest, cuddliest, like just most pleasant sweats you could possibly wear, to the point where me, a person who's basically always running at like idling car hot temperature, that even I am like, I would like the weather to be cold enough so that I can wear a sweatshirt around. I just got in the mail recently. I got a good Rice Owls hoodie with the super bug-eyed Rice Owl, who's sort of like, what are you, a cop? You got to tell me if you're a cop.
Yep.
I got the good Colorado State throwback logo. I got the...
Ooh, the one that looks like a rune.
Yes.
I love that one. That might be my favorite home field shirt I've gotten this year is that dark green Colorado State sweatshirt with the orange logo. Like, it's kind of Halloween-y, but not like overtly satanic. Maybe.
Right,
I don't know the history of Colorado State.
It's sort of druidish.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in that.
Man, I'm so glad we're back to druids.
Right?
Yeah.
2020.
Thanks, druids.
Back to druids.
So yeah, like, I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, on the one hand, props to Homefield for making clothes that are so comfortable that they have changed my perspective on weather itself. On the other hand, now I'm a like pro cold weather guy in a world that's warming and is just going the opposite direction from me. So I have to work all that out on my own. You don't have to worry about my problems. Instead, you can make your life a little better when you use the offer code FULLCAST. You get 20% off your first order. You can get the very same Druid Rune Colorado State sweatshirt. You can get the bug-eyed Rice Owl. You can get, Holly, you've got the San Diego State Aztec one.
I've got ones that go outside of football even. My other favorite besides those two you just mentioned is the, I've got the baby blue Heather Marquette basketball hoodie.
Ooh.
Which I absolutely love. I've got the kind of dark, kind of midnight blue Heather Utah State one that I just love.
Yeah. They're like the options are, there are almost too many options at this point. I probably shouldn't say that, but it's true.
I'm pulling this up because I have a note that I keep on my computer in my notes app called the home field get list.
Right.
And I have at this point well over 20 home field shirts. I'm going to count. Keep talking. I'm going to count how many more are sure. on my wish list.
I mean, the important thing is that you can go to homefieldapparel.com. And you can put Sad Husky in quotes into the search bar. And results will come for you. And I don't mean one result. I mean like three. We're talking Sad Husky sweatshirt, Sad Husky baseball tee, Sad Husky t-shirt.
39.
Sad Husky joggers.
There are 39 additional home field shirts that I would like to add. Big Noon Saturday was bad to my wallet. And it's going to get worse because there are 39 additional shirts that I want.
Have you, I assume you've told home field about all of these. Or is this like a vision board?
This is like a vision board. This is just like shirts that I want to buy on my next, okay. you know, on my next lope through home field's website.
Okay. So let's add one to it. That's not there. And let's all focus our energy on this. Spencer already said it. Say it one more time, Spencer.
You know I wasn't going to remember what you needed.
Sad Husky joggers. Sad Husky joggers.
Oh, Sad Husky joggers.
If we can get a Sad Husky face on each cheek, I will absolutely wear those.
I'd take it on a hip. It's not going to be.
It would be okay on a. I would actually like it on a hip if it was huge, like a basketball warm-up logo.
Yes, I'd take it right on the cod piece, right on the junk.
I'm sure you would. Here's what we really want. We want a pattern of it.
Like a golf pant?
Literal houndstooth.
Yeah, sad tooth.
Coat your leg in Sad Huskies.
Wait, yeah. Somebody did this for us last year, and after Bama lost,
I made that.
Okay, I thought that was a reader. Have the sad pork pie hat with the houndstooth that's just tiny Sad Huskies.
Yeah, I did that.
It's wonderful.
So, home field, these are all free ideas. And if you don't take them, you're losing money, Home Field Apparel. Now it's an ad about you in the other direction.
We're not Home Field's only podcast anymore, so we might get away with this for a few days.
Damn.
I know. So, it's okay. You'll never forget your first.
On the subject of losing money and things that are bad for your wallets, we have set up an ecosystem here, all right? Home Field takes your money. That's good. You get stuff for it. But you need to save more money. Right?
For more gray hoodies of shirts you did not attend.
That's where Acorns comes in, the country's leading saving and investing app. You can automatically invest spare change from everyday purchases such as coffee, gas, and Sad Husky joggers, should they exist, hypothetically. You can set recurring investments so you don't have to think about it every time you buy shirts on the internet. No expertise. There's diverse portfolios on there designed by experts. So you can make money no matter what the market is doing. As we've mentioned, you get a heavy metal debit card. Let's get the goat horns up. That saves and invests for you instead of putting you in debt. Earn bonus investments. 8 million people using it. Acorns.com/fullcast to claim your $5 bonus when you sign up. Takes under 3 minutes to start investing, saving, and buying stuff on the internet. There you have
like
it. Money saved and money to spend. It in a perfect circle of
the circle of capitalist life.
I meant schools you did not attend, not shirts that you did not attend. We have attended every shirt.
That's true.
Sorry about the ad.
I would like to make it up to the Indiana fans who we have not talked about Indiana football by noting the following. From 1985 to 1993, Indiana beat Northwestern 9 straight times. And in 6 of those games, Northwestern did not score more than single digits. This is squarely in the time where Northwestern football was more of a friendly suggestion than an active developmental process. But still, it is worth noting that for a stretch, for like Spencer's middle school years, probably
elementary
and middle. Okay. Yeah.
He was working at the garage by that point.
Young Spencer Hall grew up in a time when Indiana absolutely owned Northwestern's ass.
Yeah.
And look how he's doing today.
Thriving, my friends. Thriving. Listen, if your life was tied to either the fortunes of Indiana or Northwestern football, then you were damned in ways that we couldn't really possibly imagine or quantify.
That's true. Might pay off in heaven.
Sure.
I'm just saying, like, maybe heaven works out.
How are we going
like,
to know? No,
maybe it's sort of like the Oregon Trail, where it's like, oh, you were born, I don't know, an Alabama fan? That's like being the banker. You better have been a very good person.
I don't know.
Born a Northwestern fan? That's like being a farmer. You only have to be kind of good.
Is that like being an unbaptized infant?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I guess.
My Dante's a bit rusty.
I really don't think Dante was at any point concerned with Indiana or Northwestern football.
I thought you weren't there. Source?
The circle, honestly, the circles of hell are just an advanced tie-breaking procedure, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Dante goes down there, what is he doing? Investigative journalism, on-the-scene reporting, right?
Clearly a Medill grad.
Yeah, he's describing the assholes he hates and the horrible things that are happening to them. It's a little bit coincidental that all of Dante's personal enemies are having the worst things in the history of the universe happening to them, but he's only reporting the facts. There's no editorializing.
Yeah, the Inferno is...
He takes no pleasure in it. Yeah.
The Inferno is, and I'm sorry for the pun, but it's unavoidable, clearly Dante's burner account.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sitting in silent reverie right now at the wordplay.
Good. Stay that way.
Absolutely will not. I will forget it in 30 seconds.
You're my third cat.
This is the week ahead, and I'm warning you.
Ha ha! Yes.
It's only.
I don't have a good sickos yet.
Ha ha! Yes.
I haven't quite landed on a good sickos yet.
It is for degenerates only, and I know Ryan and Jason are both going to look at this and go, how is this different than the rest of the season? It might be a step below in terms of competitive likelihood and quality from even the rest of this COVID-19 wrecked season, from even the rest of this completely lopsided arrangement that we currently have in terms of schedule. It's bad. Which means it might be really good. If we start the bar super low, inevitably, even this week might be able to hop over the degraded expectations that we've made for it. So with that, I'm going to do everybody a favor and just keep dropping it. We're going to take that bar. We're going to take it so low because I'm just going to, I'm going to like, I actually wrote these notes down for the game. All right. This week features Alabama, Kentucky, which I summarized as Iowa at Penn State.
Okay, I'll say it. I'm looking forward to Alabama-Kentucky on a schematic level. Fine.
I am fascinated by every Penn State game. I am glued into everything Penn State does from here on out. They and Michigan are co-sickos game of the week until they meet, at which point the sickos will be unified with the team that loses that game. Iowa at Penn State, I'm dialed in for that.
We've made this joke before, but Jason, is this sickoween? Are you ready to call it?
I mean, if Penn State loses to Iowa and Michigan loses to Rutgers, good grief, yeah.
Mm. I mean,
I agree with Jason because Penn State started out like it was like watching a golfer be like, oh, he's gonna double bogey this hole. It's not that interesting, but now it's like, wow, they've got a 10 and they're not even on the green. This is amazing. They might never leave this hole. Penn State might live on the 7th for a week.
Yeah, this is Phil Mickelson is on the interstate right now.
On a moving truck that he put his ball on. He caught it. He's going to try to tee off to another truck headed the other direction.
Spencer, you are allotted 2 seconds to discuss Florida Vanderbilt.
Florida Vanderbilt.
Stop.
No!
Nope, that's it.
Stop.
Next.
Nope.
Next.
Like the 2016 Dollar General Bowl. Let's go.
Move it along to the better game that's next on the list.
Michigan Rutgers!
Oh yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
This is actually the bizarro version of the first football game ever played, Rutgers-Princeton. Because it's the...
Wait, Michigan's not an Ivy.
They don't even... I can't believe you said that out loud.
They don't even have a tiger. What is this shit?
They have the they have Princeton's helmets.
They have a tiger? Oh, okay. So it's Stolen Valor first football game.
It is. It's stolen. It's the Stolen Valor remix. Football game ever
it's
played.
Kirkland brand Princeton.
Yeah.
Great value Princeton.
Michigan man should appreciate a great value.
What's
like
below
Jim
a
Harbaugh?
Prince? What's one step below a Prince?
A Viscount?
Duke? No, it's a Duke.
So, is it a
so
Duke?
So instead of Princeton, Michigan is Dukedon.
Oh, I really wanted to see a Viscount.
Viscountin.
I don't know. Can it be a Duke if it's outside the ACC? Shout out to the Mayonnaise Bowl.
Wow.
Can it be a Duke if it doesn't turn out white supremacists?
Oh, that's so funny because I actually said Duke if it's outside the ACC, thinking about the mayonnaise and not about the institution named Duke.
Also, Ann Coulter went to Michigan, so like...
Ooh.
Oof, whoa.
God damn.
Ow! Does that mean she couldn't get into an Ivy?
Ah, oh, boy. I'm glad that we went this
way. So, like, the Unabomber went to Michigan, and that's like, well, you know, you can't win them all. But Ann Coulter, I'm like, oh, shit.
Everybody cites the Unabomber like that's a bad thing.
What? I mean, it's pretty bad.
Buddy?
He just liked camping.
Buddy?
All
right. So let's go ahead and just mark down the apology for the next episode.
The Unabomber loved Joseph Stalin.
He had a brochure.
I agree.
He had a brochure.
Listen, it's not like we have a problem with lone wolf right wing terrorists right now in this country, and I don't see why Spencer should have to apologize for shit.
Jason, I'm going to ask the question that I already regret. What is the line on Michigan Rutgers?
Last I looked, it was Michigan by 8.
Oh, that's squeaky.
Really? Really? Yeah.
So,
eight
so
what?
The computers are all over the the computers are all over the place on this one. I've seen it as high as 20 and as low and lower than 8, depending on where you look.
Ryan, you're not a wagering person.
No, I don't bet on sports.
You're not a wagering person.
No.
I know Jason's eye will at least wander to the hypothetical notion of putting money on this. When you see 8, do you kind of want to pull the trigger?
Yeah, I had Michigan minus 8 as a consideration, but I struck it after further review.
Because you're not an idiot.
I think Michigan is a decent bet, but Rutgers is going to try hard as shit. Rutgers under Greg Schiano is obnoxious, which little surprise there. But they're going to throw out 8,000 trick plays. Michigan is going to get all frustrated and flustered. The numbers say Michigan's the smart play, but life's about more than numbers, ain't it?
Sorry, wait, where is this game again?
Piscataway, New Jersey. A short New Jersey transit train ride away from MetLife Stadium, where maybe somebody could go for a quick little job interview with the Jets.
So we got a chance to come home with a loss and a rash. is what I'm hearing.
I would really... God, 8. I'm most stunned, by the way, in this game by the season-long streak of Rutgers and Greg Schiano, by extension, being compelling and fun. I know when they
don't have to say fun.
Yeah, no.
When they get good at things, they'll stop trying to be interesting.
Their football players have been fun. Greg Schiano sucks, but Rutgers athletes on the field have been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rutgers players have had a blast this year. I feel pretty safe saying that.
Okay.
At least on the field. So that I'm not totally used to.
Okay.
Because in this game, if you watch the two teams, the one that will be way more likable in terms of what they do on the field, how much fun they have doing it, it's going to be Rutgers. And that's going to feel odd.
Yeah.
You're going to be right there with me.
Rutgers has nothing to lose.
Michigan nothing.
A lot to lose.
Starting with the football game.
The game!
Michigan has a lot to keep losing.
And 8 points. 8 points to cover.
Here's the weird situation. If you are a Michigan fan who is over Jim Harbaugh, who wants it to be done, what is the outcome you're rooting for in this game?
That's a great question, Ryan.
Finish this off, Greg. Do it.
Hit an artery.
I mean, just a couple of years.
I'm going to New Jersey to get it over with.
Just, yeah, exactly. Why don't you go visit?
Just like Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah. There's a reference Michigan grads will get.
Yeah, now you see your situation, Michigan.
Because here's what I think the funniest thing Michigan could do for the rest of the
now,
year.
Michigan grads are really Jeffersonians at heart. Now I'm going to get some emails. Wow.
Lose to Rutgers, lose to Penn State, lose to Maryland, beat Ohio State. For the first time in this of all seasons, finally beat Ohio State, and then look around and be like, God damn it, we got to keep him now, don't we? God
for
damn it.
The first time in forever.
I've asked every Michigan fan I know this question this week.
Yeah.
If you beat both Ohio State, if yeah, all two of them.
Ace and
it's actually like
and birds.
Actually
and
it's
Jane.
Like
Jane.
It's actually
three.
Actually
three.
It's like seven.
I talked to Brian when I'm fielding his restraining order requests against Godfrey.
It's good that you...
Godfrey doesn't listen to this show, so it's okay.
It's good that you can be a bridge between them.
Yeah.
I've asked all of them, and all of them responded with the same answer to, if you lost the rest of your games but beat Ohio State, does Harbaugh keep his job? And the answer is yes.
Can we then root for that? Because I think that would be optimal for all of us from a comedic standpoint.
Yes. That's perfect.
Also, then you've knocked 3-0 Ohio State out of the playoff.
Oh, that's delicious.
Yeah. I mean,
goodness gracious me.
I gotta admit, that's a really good outcome.
That is a spicy meatball, as they say in Rutgers. Did I say that right?
The country of Rutgers. I don't think this is on your list, but I feel compelled to point out that if Liberty beats NC State, they will have swept all three of their ACC games this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think based on that alone, we should deny the ACC any playoff spot.
Yeah.
Not a single one.
That's totally fine.
None. So not what if... for Notre Dame, not for Clemson, nobody.
God, you really hate to see this for a long time, ACC stalwart Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, this is Protestants knocking Catholics out of the playoff.
Wow.
That happens.
Finally, a use for liberty. Interesting.
Martin Luther smiles from beyond the grave.
Masturbating from beyond the grave.
What the hell?
He fucking sucked. Martin Luther sucked. Protestant, but I'm going to say it anyway. Martin Luther sucked.
No, I wasn't caping up for Martin Luther. I'm just like, do I have to think about him jacking it?
You don't have to. No.
Right, I'm going to
sit quiet. It's hard to avoid, Ryan. It's hard to avoid once you said
it. I'm just going to sit quietly till I come up with something more upsetting.
Martin Luther did say that women have a wide fundament and are narrow in the shoulders so that blood can't get to their brains, and that's why men were smarter. And
I'm glad Martin Luther's dead.
Jesus. Did he go to Florida State?
Is it a fundament?
A fundament. That's
wait, so he's down there thinking about the wide fundaments?
What kind of trapezoidal women is Martin Luther? I love my plump Rama's wife.
That's it. Like Martin Luther
like
was
narrow shoulders. That does sound like a lot of Yankee women I know, but not with the big ass.
Yeah, I was like, why? No, like I just think he was like, they are all perfectly triangular.
Well, I mean,
Martin Luther was Martin Luther Particle Man?
Boy, she got a body like Bill Cipher.
I mean, we know he's not good at shapes. Look at his haircut.
Yeah. Martin, you're married to a hookah. I think you should know.
God, what an ultimate shit poster.
God, no,
be like,
wait,
I have
married to a hookah would have made him maybe more chill.
I have That's a true. 95 point thesis I would like you to read. Oh,
I got
God.
A whole fucking forum I'm gonna post on your door.
Just the Catholic Church issuing a hey, I ain't reading all that. I'm sorry that happened to you, or happy that it did, but
congrats.
I ain't reading all that.
Jesus is up there pointing down and looking around at all the apostles and being like, apologies to this man.
Hey, reading all that.
This motherfucker said thread, one of 95.
Thread, one of 95. Oh, good Lord.
What's weird is that 92 is all about Tom Herman and why he can't succeed at Texas.
Well, he was onto something there.
Yeah. That's it. I'm following that thread, to be honest.
Once you get far enough in there, he starts making points.
Yeah. You just got to stick with it. It's like Parks and Rec. Skip the first season.
Sure.
Martin Luther understood one thing that I think a lot of true reply guys today don't get, and that is that if you really, really are living the life and walking in the spirit of the reply guy, you don't need anything to reply to, brother. It's all in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right there.
Just let it out.
Yeah. Let it out onto a door.
Yep.
That's right. Now we're talking about druids again.
Yep.
Shouts out to the druids doing good work in 2020.
Shouts out to all of our druidic listeners far and near.
Yeah. Also, by the way,
the druids are really fucking up in 2020.
Why?
I mean,
now let's go long on this.
Shouldn't things be going better? If
no, I mean, you don't know that they're not going great for the druids.
Yeah, okay. Man. Don't question the druid plan.
Okay, so there's a long game here.
This could be like the holiday.
Druids do not exactly have a long history of not being xenophobic.
Yeah,
maybe. Maybe somebody went to the druids and was like, please, there's too many vehicular deaths. And they were like, okay, solve.
So
we should have
just termed it better.
Yeah, always.
Whoever went to the druids.
Yeah.
This is
what you wish cast for.
This is the holiday conversation where normally you find out that maybe your brother-in-law's done really well with like, hey, listen, you gotta get into pharmaceuticals this quarter. Like your brother-in-law's like, yo, listen, the druids, they've been doing good work.
Man, if I had the opportunity to see my family at Thanksgiving and I don't, this is exactly the kind of shit that I would start doing to keep them from talking about Pizzagate. I'm just gonna go straight druids.
I'm going to get here's a perfect example on the schedule of like, be careful what you wish for. Back in like May, when there's no football anyway, and when it's like, I don't know if there's going to be a season at all, people on Twitter will pop up and they'll be like, oh, I'd watch a Virginia Tech Pitt game right now. Uh-huh. Well, motherfucker, it's on this weekend. Let's see you turn into ACC Network at 3:00.
The feces of this schedule have been nailed to the door of our brains with like a monkey's paw.
Yeah.
The people I really want to see dialed in for all 16 hours of college football Saturday is everybody who clamored for there to be a season, who, and everyone who has ever typed the word Corona Bros, you better be logged in for all 15 hours on Saturday.
Is that how
this
you
is what you
that?
Asked for, isn't it?
Corona Bros. Corona Bros.
That's how they type that shit. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Corona Bros.
Two words.
Are these like Vin Diesel fans?
It's like a Greek Bond villain.
Yeah. Welcome to my island, Mr. Bond.
I am Costas Corona Bros.
Well, they do expect us to die.
The K-pop fans, you know how they reclaim every hashtag? We could
do
that with Corona Bros. And just make it all about Fast and Furious 1.
I got to think if Korean teens really wanted to, they could put together a team and defeat the druids.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I think so.
Whoa.
Man, the druids ain't shit.
Oh, shit. Jason Kirk said that, not me.
Wow.
See what happens.
You can reach him at Bud Elliott on Twitter.
What can they do to me that Florida Vanderbilt can't?
Yeah.
I thought we weren't talking about it, Jason.
You really can't beat them for stylish clothes.
I said Spencer had 2 seconds to talk about it.
Oh, no.
Then I used my 2 seconds to talk about it.
Speaking, nice attorneying, Ryan.
Speaking
shit.
Of...
Piece of shit.
Speaking of... speaking
hey,
of
hey
sacred...
Ryan, did you see how Rudy Giuliani did in court today?
I did.
Oh, yeah. did you happen to read... I didn't. Please tell me.
It's bad.
And I asked you to please tell
it's
me
awesome.
Because there's at least two L's in that sentence.
It's very much bad.
Like he hadn't done court stuff in like 28 years.
Well,
like he hadn't
for the
been
third
in federal
show
court
in a row. Since... What like it's hard?
You know you
apparently it is. Rudy had
so
a tough
know,
day.
You know that part?
Oh
in...
wait, is this the thing where I saw like six people in my timeline at once going that I learned that in the second week of law school? Is that who they were talking about?
Yeah.
Oh sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's
the judge is like explaining shit to Rudy while telling him why it's not going to work.
I'm going
to
give you a quote.
Man, do you know who's, if the Druids are having a bad year, do you all know who is having a great year? Judges.
I'm going to go ahead and give you this quote.
For good and extreme evil.
The judge at one point was so confused by a test that Giuliani wanted to use to evaluate a particular piece of evidence or argument and said, by what standard do you wish me to evaluate this argument?
Oh,
and
no.
Rudy Giuliani in a court of law looked up at him and goes, the usual one. I didn't go to law school. I would have come in and stone cold stunned him for saying that.
Okay, I don't actually know this. Where did Rudy Giuliani go to school?
NYU, I think.
Ryan!
It's not my fault.
Come get your boy.
I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that Rudy Giuliani took down like the New York Mafia, and this makes me think that the.
Do you know how dumb the Mafia is?
That's what made me. That was like they had to be complete dumbasses.
Does this really? This lowers my estimation of organized crime.
How organized could you have been?
Turns out it's not that organized. Now here's the punchline: Giuliani is being paid $20,000 a day to do this.
The best part is he set up his lifestyle to where that isn't anything. That's barely going to cover his toilet paper expenses.
Montana landowner Rudy Giuliani.
Basically, what Rudy Giuliani did in court was, you know, occasionally you'll see somebody go on The Price is Right, and they will bid on something where you don't know the exact price, but you know the number they just said is wildly wrong in one direction or another, where it's like, and you're going to bid on this this RV, and they're like, $8,000, and you're like, oh my God, what are you talking about? No, it's not $8,000. What's wrong with you? That's what Rudy Giuliani did, except, you know, in the legal process that's holding up, I don't know, just
hey,
all of federal
Rudy
government.
What's Rudy Giuliani's job again right now?
Nighttime manager, Four Seasons, Total Landscape.
No, I mean, what is his actual
cybersecurity czar?
I don't think he has it. I don't think he's ever had a formal job in the administration.
Okay,
They put him in charge of cybersecurity at some point.
He is a cybersecurity advisor.
Oh, that's like a Nick Saban analyst. Okay.
Secretary of memes. Got it.
If you're a judge, by the way, do you just let him go for a minute just to see how much like line he'll
gonna,
like, take
gonna
out?
You're going to dine out on this for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you're like, listen, I'm on the clock until 5.
Listen, I got to hear like patent cases after this for the next 4 months.
Do you just
months.
Ask him unrelated questions?
Lay it
of,
on
like,
me, big fella.
Like, hey, listen, can you explain to me orbital mechanics? I just want to hear what your answer to this is.
Rudy,
just start throwing out
me
things.
The problem with kids today.
Yeah. How did Princess Diana die? Why don't you tell me that, Rudy Giuliani?
Jesus.
Oh,
no.
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 Why? How did that really happen? So!
No.
Listen, I'm not an SNL person. Kate McKinnon as Rudy the Saturday after the election was fucking deranged and one of the most beautiful moments of television I've ever seen.
Here's one more moment from Giuliani in court today. Quote from NPR. As he was introducing evidence, Giuliani noted that he had once been a law clerk and he hoped he was handling the evidence correctly. In case I need a job after this, he told the court.
Yeah, I'm sorry mayor of 9/11 isn't a job, Rudy, but, you know, neither is blogger, really, so we're not so different.
Mayor of 9/11 is very much a, that's not stable employment. That's a freelance type thing.
Mm.
That's a gig.
Real quick.
I'm still mad about Martin Luther. All right, what games have we not gotten to?
We talked about Texas and Kansas. We have not.
No.
Okay, this game tickles me, but it tickles me like on the taint. Is that a thing?
Wow.
Only you can say.
But yeah, I don't.
Like, it tickles me, but not in a good. Not, it just kind of itches. Not itches.
The Gooch game of the week.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
You know that thing where one of us says something and Holly, like, you can hear the horror on her face.
That's what you're doing.
No, I feel my feelings for this game and they're not coming from my butthole, but it's right there.
Is it possible that you actually are Spencer now? Have you Freaky Friday'd?
We've been spending a lot of time together and neither one of us is particularly happy about that.
Okay.
I was just, before we got to discussions of the grundle,
Wait, what's a grundle?
A rock jock Jayhawk. I wanted to get to the question, which is, Do you think the Longhorns could pull off the upset?
It's not even funny this year because Kansas is so bad.
Man, they're so bad. Yeah. Kansas. Why did you guys? Best. Why didn't you just buy Les Miles a boat?
Who's that one dude who says we're cyberbullying Kansas every time we talk about Kansas?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Kansas football fan.
Yeah, I don't know. Les Miles.
No, fan.
You know, Les Miles is not a face. Like, why would I watch Kansas football? Jesus. You have to pay me to do that, which they do.
But they're very lax about checking what I'm actually watching.
I would bet Les, like, leaves just checks uncashed. He doesn't have direct deposit. Like, I bet Les is just like, well, I got all these checks.
Les strikes me as a person who's, like, in a conservatorship of some kind, like Brittany. Just one of the many things they have in common.
It's Leslie, bitch.
Well, like Beauchamp Beckler is still running Les Miles' finances?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. The ghost Shem Beckler just sitting there with the green eye shade next to him going, fuck, Les, Jesus. You got to spend less on vegan smoothies.
Stop buying undented cans, you dipshit. The contents are perfectly fine.
I can't think of a worse way for the Tom Herman era to end at Texas than another loss to them.
Is it ending?
This is the only thing that I am confident. The other ones, maybe. This one, no. Kansas is not a functional football team this year.
Yeah, Tom Herman is capable of playing down to anyone's level. I don't think they'll lose to Kansas, but it might be.
At halftime, are we going to be bird dogging it? Like,
I don't.
It's 10-7.
So. No.
I mean, Tom Herman is capable of anything.
It's so extreme this year.
Yeah. I think USC Utah, if it happens, if USC Utah happens, it could be your standard intriguing game with a Utah team, which means getting hit in the face and still winning. That could happen.
I think this is one of a few games that, you know, in addition to the very observable tragedies in the Big Ten and various other accidents throughout the country, there are things of interest. Cincy UCF, probably Cincy's toughest game of the entire season. If they look impressive against UCF, they might really have a pretty decent playoff case. I think USC Utah could be good. USC tends to make everything. Dramatic, at least. You got Farmageddon. That'll get dumb. And we got Bedlam, which is usually Badlam. But maybe it'll be Goodlam. But probably.
And what is the line on that game?
It was Oklahoma by 9 last I saw. And so for years we've said, you know, Bedlam, you never know what you're going to get. Could be OU by a lot. Could be OU by a little. I have OU by a little this time. I have OSU in the points.
That would be what, like, Mike Gundy's fourth win over Oklahoma since he's been there?
No, it's not a lot. I have OU winning, but I think
okay,
OSU.
Okay, I apologize.
Picking Oklahoma State to beat Oklahoma.
Ryan, come on. This year isn't that crazy.
I apologize.
I have the Cowboys making it a little competitive looking.
Okay.
Cerber, can we isolate Jason's Bedlam laugh as like a soundboard feature?
Sure.
Later on? That was beautiful.
Yeah, because they're not winning.
There's That's a sicko the game you nobody has mentioned here, and it really doesn't matter who's on the other side of this, but UMass is playing football again.
Jesus Christ, Ryan!
Man, my butthole.
How the fuck did that happen?
Game.
I thought we eradicated that from the. Is there a nest that we didn't find?
It's in Boca Raton, Florida. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Bad figures.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
It's so dark and. Moist.
You know how they crossbred the orcs to bred Uruk-hai? UMass has gotten into the palmetto bugs.
So this is what the UMass schedule, we can sum it up real quickly here. They started the year losing on the road to Georgia Southern 41-0. Then they went on the road to Marshall and lost 51-10. Now they're going to go on the road to FAU. Conservatively, let's say they'll lose by 37. And then they'll end with, yes, that's right, another road game. Yes, that's right. The Liberty Flames.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, listen, I want you to put that list of locations together and the quantity and quality of the beatdowns delivered and consider that UMass is basically a corrupt tomato can of a boxer who's just like, Yeah, I'll show up at a strip mall in Huntington, West Virginia for $700.
Yeah, this is like 65-year-old Evander Holyfield stuff.
I'll go to Boca Raton, let an owl beat me up.
At a noontime
casino. An owl
casino.
In a private prison.
There is...
What was their final game? Where were
Liberty.
They going?
Liberty.
Okay, so...
I'll go do some
sex stuff? Well, all right, as long as the money's good.
You say he wants to watch while I get beat down?
Of course, Jerry Falwell's school scheduled UMass.
Uh-huh.
I don't get it.
The final piece in the argument that this weekend is actually fine, of course, App State at Coastal Carolina. That's a good game.
That's probably the best game of the weekend.
Tulane at Tulsa on Thursday is going to be pretty good too, probably.
Entertainment. One wall-to-wall entertainment right there.
Friday, you can skip entirely.
Yeah. Have y'all watched... how much weeknight football have y'all watched this season?
I think I'm good for like a game and a half.
Yeah, when it's... The tasks have taken me further into the evening than they normally have due to Zoom school. But when it's on, I will... I'll sack out in front of it for a little bit.
For some reason, I just have Minnesota playing a lot on weeknights, which I think they're like, I think PJ knew and was like, yeah, just get it over early in the week. Nobody's watching. Nobody needs to see this.
I will say somebody tweeted us, I think while we were recording this, to say, this guy just caught a pass in the Tuesday night Maction game, mm-hmm. and it is a Akron sophomore tight end whose name is Maverick Wolfley.
Ryan, please look up this kid's brother's name, who is also on the team.
It was at West Virginia.
Okay.
I know about this because they were formerly at West Virginia.
They transferred?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Originally,
I don't
want to
talk about these two beautiful,
completely
nominative, determined Big 12 boys escaping.
Morgantown natives and brothers, Maverick Wolfley and his brother, Stone Wolfley.
DDS.
And what do we know from the Bailey twins? Or I'm sorry, the Bailey brothers? What do we know the rule?
There's a Maverick, Kevin and Silverberry.
There's a Maverick and a Stone, and then there's like a William.
Yeah.
Now the
that's the Bailey brothers.
Yes,
Stone. Stone Wolfley's West Virginia profile is still up, and it says it has two of the here are two of the bullets under personal. Uncle Ron was also a former Mountaineer standout at fullback. Next bullet. Uncle Craig played at Syracuse and in the NFL for more than 10 years.
So the only one who got out made it to the NFL.
No, Ron made it to the NFL as well. Ron was a four-time Pro Bowler.
I like that. Uh-huh. I like that. Like the Baileys, there is a Ron, but this Ron was the successful one.
There's a Wolfley dynasty.
Good on you, Ron.
Fuck,
Ryan.
That's
when
awesome.
You said the two bullets, the first thing that went through my head was, "There's a bullet Wolfley."
I was thinking,
"There's two of them."
I went off on a mental tangent of my own about personal bullets, and I'm like, "Well, they're personal on one end or the other."
We will be adding Bullet Wolfley to the Steak Rancher series of books.
I gotta fight my arch enemy, the sheriff.
Yes.
The sheriff of Skull County. The
Bullet Wolfley.
The bastard Bullet Wolfley.
While we're talking about Skull County.
Bullet Wolfley is now canon.
Can I tell y'all, honest to God, the name of the holler that my mother grew up in at West Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Muzzle Creek.
Wow.
Damn. Wow.
God, that's grizzled.
I've given the listeners of this full cast pretty much enough of my ancestry information for them to steal my identity over the past 2 weeks. And if one of y'all doesn't at least attempt it, I'll be bitterly disappointed.
Where'd you grow up, Silencer River?
I'm gonna give new Tennessee resident, relatively new Tennessee resident, Ryan Annie, my favorite name in the entire state. And that is a small town. I believe it's in Rutherford County. It's a crossroads where people used to meet.
Oh, God damn it, Spencer.
Meet and fight. That was the thing. This entire this intersection was
the
known.
The Temecula of Tennessee.
It was the Temecula of Tennessee.
Temecula, if you will.
It is a small junction, I believe in Rutherford County, that is called Skull Knuckle, Tennessee.